Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Synoris Pharmaceuticals Limited Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by Ambit Capital Private Limited. These statements are not guaranteed of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all the participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pranav Chawla, sir, from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Anjali. Good evening. On behalf of Ambit Capital, I thank Synoris Pharmaceuticals Limited for providing us the opportunity to host this earnings call. We have the following members of the management with us today: Mr. Swapnil Shah, Managing Director; Mr. Sanjay Majmudar, Chairman; Mr. Dhaval Shah, CFO. I now hand over the call to the management for opening remarks. Thank you all. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Pranav. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Synoris Pharmaceuticals Limited's Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings conference. Along with me on the call, we have our Chairman, Mr. Sanjay Majmudar, our CFO, Mr. Dhaval Shah, our COO, Mr. Chetan Shah, and our SGA team members. We have uploaded the result, press release, and investor presentation on stock exchanges and company's website. I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. Continuing on our established strategies, we have delivered a healthy performance across segments in Q2 FY 2026. Our revenue and profits for the first half of the year are in line with our annual guidance, and we remain on track and confident of delivering at least 50% growth in top line and 100% growth in PAT for FY 2026 over FY 2025. Our current business is undergoing a structural advancement which will provide better market visibility and support the growth momentum for us over the medium to long term. Speaking about the segmental performance, revenue from regulated markets grew by 87% YoY in Q2 FY 2026 and 78% in H1 FY 2026, reflecting our efforts of expanding the product portfolio and careful selection of sales channels and go-to-market strategies. On a Q-on-Q basis, revenue has grown by 19%. We have continued to expand our ANDA portfolio through both in-house product development and strategic acquisitions. Furthermore, acquired ANDA portfolio has notably strengthened and diversified our product basket. During the quarter, we launched eight new products, including some from our recently acquired portfolio. The initial launches have been extremely successful. A substantial portion of acquired portfolio is yet to be launched. Additionally, the continued scale-up of existing products and launch of new products together sets a solid foundation for accelerated growth momentum not only in the second half of FY 2026 but also further in FY 2027. In Q2 FY 2026, with acquired products and in-house development, our portfolio now stands at 81 products. In H1 FY 2027, we plan to launch approximately 8-10 ANDA products. Over and above this, we have close to 70 products in different stages of development. We have also launched more products in CDMO/CMO segment during Q2 FY 2026. Our portfolio now stands at about 32 products. We have more than 50 products in pipeline as of September 2025. Our CDMO/CMO advantage is from delivering end-to-end solutions from development to scale-up to exhibit batch to supply chain planning for commercial production, as well as complete regulatory support, including pre- and post-approvals. Also, we stand out in terms of CDMO projects. Since our manufacturing capacities are in the U.S., we'll have more control of supply chain agile for any changes or disruption in the industry. All in all, the regulated market business, which is our largest vertical, continues to show high and consistent growth driven by our portfolio expansion, customer addition, and increased market penetration. Our existing portfolio and the pipeline in the own product segment, coupled with contracts in hand for CDMO/CMO segment, gives us a good visibility for the year in the regulated markets. Speaking of capabilities, the upcoming capacity expansion at our U.S. facility will provide an additional growth driver. We expect the third manufacturing line at our U.S. facility to be operational in Q3 FY 2026, and fourth line sometime towards the end of FY26. This expansion will take us the oral solid capacity at our U.S. plant from 1.2 billion units to about 2 billion units, thus creating enough headroom to cater to our stated targets. Moving to emerging market business, during the quarter, we received approvals for 86 new products, bringing our total portfolio to 394 registered products as of September 30, 2025. In addition, 824 products are currently under registration. With our portfolio shifting towards niche molecules and the continued refinement of our go-to-market strategies, we are witnessing improvement across all key performance metrics in emerging markets segments. Beyond expanding our portfolio of registered products, we are also realizing better pricing and margins. Importantly, businesses now turn cash positive. So there is a continued flow of registration due to dollar fluctuation and the geopolitical situation in some of the markets we operate in. The commercialization of new products is slow. Overall, the emerging market is demonstrating a steady momentum in both growth and profitability. While we remain focused on niche products, we are also in the process of obtaining fixed approval for our Chatral manufacturing facility. This approval will enable us to expand our footprint in key mid-tier semi-regulated markets. Turning to India business, our branded generic segment has continued to build on strong momentum seen over the past few quarters. We are steadily expanding our field force in this segment and aim to achieve pan-India coverage by end of FY26. We are already an approved supplier of branded generics to several leading multi-specialty hospitals across India. The business remains on track to reach approximately 50 crores in revenue in FY26. In H1 FY26, our branded generics business stood at about 20 crores, an impressive growth of 667% on a YOY basis. Looking ahead, our micro-integration strategy will be pivotally strengthening our supply chain and supporting sustainable growth across both business segments in the near future. With annual capacity of more than 100 metric ton of API facility, this facility will play a major role in backward integration of our products. Our facility is projected to get approval by US FDA in Q2 FY26-27. Furthermore, our second API facility will be manufacturing key products post FDA approval from Q2 FY26-27. Continuing our focus on cash flow generation, I'm pleased to share that we achieved an operating cash flow of approximate 31 crores in first half of FY26, more than 3 times 9 crores that were generated in H1 FY25. Even with the strong growth in the business, our EBITDA to cash flow conversion has improved considerably from the previous year. Our cash flow trajectory has shown steady, consistent improvement, and we remain confident in our ability to generate and further strengthen this metrics. We have consistently delivered on our commitments in both revenue and profitability, underscoring the effectiveness of our strategy and execution. Our focus remains firmly on our business model across all regulated, emerging market, and India. We see a long and promising growth trajectory ahead for Synerus and are well positioned to capitalize on the same. We have also added some of the best industry brains to lead our critical operating verticals, which will bring deep industry expertise and extensive experience, making us even more confident in our ability to continue driving sustained and profitable growth in the years to come. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Deval Shah, our Chief Financial Officer, to take you through financial and operational highlights of the quarter. Thank you, and over to you, Deval.
Thank you, Kapil. A warm welcome to everyone on our Q2 FY26 earnings call. I just take you through our financial and operational performance for the quarter and the half year ended September 2025. Our consolidated income for Q2 of 2026 stood at 162 crores, reflecting a strong growth of 61% on YOY basis. This was driven largely by the new product launches in the regulated market. On COQ basis, consolidated income grew by 17%. EBITDA for Q2 FY26 stood at about 50 crores, growing by almost 113% on YOY basis. EBITDA margin came in at 30.6%, improving by 750 BPS YOY. On a sequential basis, EBITDA margin has improved by around 580 BPS. Profit after tax for the quarter grew by 131% YOY and came to 30 crores. Coming to the H1 performance, consolidated income stood at 300 crores, growing by 66% YOY. EBITDA for H1 stood at 84 crores, growing by 88% YOY. And PAT stood at 51%, growing by a robust 114% YOY. Coming to our segment-wise performance for Q2, revenue from regulated markets stood at 107 crores, growing by 87% YOY and 19% QOQ. This growth was primarily driven as published by the launches of our own products during the quarter, new products during the quarter. EBITDA margin to regulated market stood at 44% for Q2, FY26. This margin was aided by higher share of our own products launched during the quarter. Revenue from the emerging market for the quarter stood at 32 crores, which is going 9% sequentially. EBITDA margin in the emerging market stood at 6.6%, which is almost similar to the earlier quarter. The domestic branded generic business revenue stood at 12 crores in Q2 of 2026, growing more than 10-fold on YOY basis. Segmental performance for H1 EPC, regulated market revenue stood at 197 crores, which grew by 78% YOY and EBITDA margin 60% on H1 basis. Emerging market for H1 revenue was 61 crores, EBITDA margin stood at 6.2%, which is similar to that in Q1. However, the target and its revenue grew more than 7-fold YOY in H1 and stood at 20 crores. Cash flow from operations for H1 2026 stood at 31 crores, with around 11 crores coming in Q1 and around 20 crores in Q2. Accordingly, the cash flow from operations EBITDA for Q2 and H1 stand at 40% and 38% respectively. Despite high growth of 66% in H1, we have been able to improve our capital efficiency and deployment and generate positive cash flow from operations. As the business takes further, we will see this ratio expand further and will be able to enhance our liquidity and return ratios. To summarize, we have witnessed a very healthy performance across segments in the quarter as well as half year ended September. We are well positioned to sustain this momentum over the full year. We are confident of delivering the sustained profitable growth going forward. With this, I would now like to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Sumit Gupta from Centrum. Please go ahead.
If I am audible?
Yes.
Hi, good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, one question on emerging market segment. So, like it has declined. So, what are the factors leading to this decline?
Yes, hi, Sumit. This is Swapnil here. So, thank you for your question. So, emerging markets, you see, we've got about 80 plus product registration in this quarter. There are two issues that are driving, or maybe I would say, not giving us the kind of growth momentum that we need on the emerging market. One is the dollar appreciation across, right? So people are kind of holding back on and wanting their currency to stabilize. The second is, though we've got registration approvals, those approvals have not converted yet into the commercial orders. because there are import permits need to be taken and so on and so forth. And, you know, because of certain geopolitical issues, those things have been delayed as we speak. From a business standpoint, everything is going as per the plan. But whatever the new registration which had to give that additional growth, that is kind of slow. That's why you see only 4% growth on a H1 to H1, H1 of last year to H1 of this year on the revenue side, which we feel in next coming quarters that with the amount of product registration that we have and the already approved product getting commercialized, we'll be able to get to a better growth numbers on the emerging market.
Okay, so second half, we can expect double-digit kind of growth?
So double-digit kind of growth can be expected, I would say, from next year. So Q1 FY 26-27 is what we are looking at on a double-digit growth. But our revenue targets for this year, more or less on the emerging market, will likely to achieve.
Yeah, I think this year there will be a double-digit growth on the EM side. No problem at all.
Okay. And with respect to margin, so currently it's around 6.5%. So how should we look at over the next 2 to 3 years at least?
At the next 2-3 years horizon, I think we should be in mid-teens, around mid-teens.
Mid-teens margin.
Yes.
Okay. And for regulated markets also, like around, do we expect this to stabilize at these levels or is there any further room to grow the margin?
I think we should stabilize around this level for this regulated market.
40-42% kind of margin.
That's right.
Understood. Thank you, sir. I will get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Natiket Mohta from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on such a good performance by our company in quarter 2. My question was regarding gross margins. Our gross margins have really picked up in quarter 2. So, if you could elaborate what has resulted in these gross margins and going forward into H2, how sustainable are these margins?
I think gross margin mainly improved in this quarter because our own products have been launched. So, if you see the breakup of own product in the CDMO is growing at a constant pace. So, we are able to launch our own products. And due to that, I think the gross margin has improved for the quarter, definitely. But it may settle down around 65% or 65% going forward on an average.
So just to add to this, you know, as we continue more and more launches of our own product through our own R&D driven products as well as acquired portfolio, the gross margin, whatever that we see today, will continue to sustain. It may get improved depending upon the particular quarter launches. But from a long-term view, I think whatever the margins that we have, it's quite sustainable.
Okay, excellent. And so another bookkeeping question. So we have 8 crores sort of hit in OCI. So if you could explain what is that regarding to?
8 crores OCI. You mean to say other operating income, correct?
There is one on OCI.
No, not the other operating income, other comprehensive income under the PAT. So there is an 8 crores worth of expense.
So that is related to mainly related to the FCTRS, the translation in terms of the net cost we have to bear, the translation cost which has been going into FC, that is arising out of FCTRS mainly. Because the original cost was recorded low and now we are having a higher rate.
It doesn't impact the PAT anyway. Yeah.
Sure, sir. Sure. Thank you. I'll get back in with you.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Abhishek Kumar Jain from Alpha Accurate. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats for a strong set of numbers. Sir, as you mentioned that you are targeting around 60% revenue growth in FY26. So if you can throw some more light on the FY27 growth rate, as you are adding the capacity in the US from 1.2 billion to the around 2 billion in FY27. So just wanted to understand what would be the target utilization rate of the 2 billion and how much it will add the revenue and profitability.
Yes, Abhishek, thank you. Post this year, FY27, I think sustainable growth on a CAGR basis should be between 25% and 30%. That is what we've targeted. I mean, with the positive launches, this could well exceed. But from our internal target perspective, at least 30% CAGR sustainable growth over next 3 to 5 years is very much visible for us, and which will continue to deliver. So that's what our internal targets have been.
And how much would be the regulated?
This should be taken as a target and not exactly a guidance, okay? Yeah. Just for your understanding.
Yeah, yes, sir. Understood. And sir, in a, what would be the mix of the regulated market business in a medium to longer term? Will it be at a 80%+ in the overall revenue mix, or will it go down? Or
it should continue in the same proportion. Almost 65% should be from the regulated market going forward also, because we are going on both the sides.
Okay. And the, sir, the new API facility in Chhatrasal is expected to complete in the FY27. So just wanted to understand that how much incremental revenue would be possible from that plant in the first year and the second year.
So yeah, the API facility that is going to be going for FDA approval in FY27. The targeted revenue should be between 50 to 100 crores from that facility for the next year. But as again, as I said, that's largely driven by our internal pipeline. So products that we currently have, this will be largely used for backward integration for a supply chain protection. So I would not read too much into the sales of that particular API facility coming in. For us, the more strategic is, integrating the supply chain on a key product. So I think the way we've built it, it is for the integrated backward supply chain planning.
Okay, so got it. And sir, my last question on the India branded generic business. So what is the long-term strategic role of the India branded generic business within the overall company's portfolio? And what is the aspirational market share or revenue threshold targeted for this segment?
I understand that your question is relating to branded generics. And the
India branded generics.
India has been integral part for our business. Any strategic vertical that we want to initiate, India business plays a big role. And as you can see, the level of growth that we have been able to achieve with a positive cash flow immediately, right, in terms of our ROC has been pretty good on the India generic side of the business. So being 1.4 billion population of India, having such a big pharmaceutical market, continue to grow in on various critical segments, I think it gives us a right strategy and right marketplace to kind of be there and grow our business with the right amount of products that we have and right people that we have placed to grow that business. So strategically it fits in well in terms of diversifying our current portfolio of products in our geographical segment that we are presenting. Also, it is de-risking, right? Having the concentration on just one side of the business or one market of the business. So strategically, it plays big role. But going forward, as I said, it will continue to grow from a 50-odd crore this year to about 100 odd crores next year is what we've planned on the branded generic side of the business. If we able to launch more divisions next year, I think the growth could be better, but this is what we are internally planning as we speak.
Just to add, currently the focus is on critical care injectable products with hospitals. So that's the current focus.
And what would be the margin of this business when it will cross the 100 crores?
Yeah, so we are at about 30-odd% gross margin, about 18-20% EBITDA currently on the branded generic side of the business. And as we have more products and we expand pan-India, I think this margins and the gross profit is likely to scale up further. We'll be watchful in terms of how it plays out in the next few quarters.
Okay, and my last question on the new business acquisition, new company acquisition you have announced today, yesterday. If you can throw some more light over there, why? What was the reason? And what kind of the revenue potential over there?
So as you already know, we have acquired 51% interest in Zoraya Pharmaceuticals LLC based out of US. Zoraya is being formed to further vertically integrate ourselves in the marketplace. So some of our products that we have acquired, ANDAs, will be launched under Zoraya platform. So this will be our brand in the marketplace that we'll operate in. So not necessarily all our products that we do development on will be launched under Zoraya, but some strategic key products that we feel we want to launch under our Zoraya platform, which will be continued to launch. The important part to know is the remaining 49% on the Zoraya is somebody who already has a marketing experience over the last few decades in the United States, who already have the right infrastructure to do all the marketing and sales and marketing in that particular country. So we've tied up with the people who already have an experience in the marketplace over a few decades to expedite our presence and launch and gain the marketplace for some of the strategic key products that we want to launch in the Zoraya platform.
And what is the acquisition cost and expected revenue from this?
This is a new format. There is no acquisition. This is a new format. They joined in with that.
No acquisition cost.
No. It is a new format, and whatever we contribute will be the cost.
Okay.
There is a new business being set up. New business is being set up.
Okay. Got it. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Bharat Teli from Aquarius Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand on Zoraya, so we'll be using this to market the products, because a couple of products in the US, is it correct?
Yes, hi Bharat, thank you for your question. Yes, so the strategy behind Zoraya is the part of our acquisition portfolio. We would be launching our own label under Zoraya platform.
Right, and when it comes to regulated market for this quarter, what was the out-licensing income?
Sorry, what is the out-licensing income you said?
Yes, for this quarter.
So, out-licensing...
For this quarter?
For this quarter.
It's 1.2 million.
1.2 million. Okay. How our own product has grown within the regulated market as compared to the last year? Within the regular?
Yes. Own products, yes.
Yeah, how it has grown?
Yeah, it has grown.
You want percentage?
Yes, I'm looking for the percentage. Good.
So, own products have grown. H1 APC is 86 crores to 137 crores.
Sorry, can I buy? I beg your pardon.
So it has grown by almost 60%, more than 60%. 65%.
Right. And how many ANDAs we are looking to launch in second half of this fiscal?
So we are looking at about 6 to 8 launches in the second half.
Products, not ANDAs. Yeah.
ANDAs. Yes.
And this includes the acquired portfolio as well, right?
It includes acquired portfolio. That's correct.
Okay. Thanks. That's helpful. I will get back in with you.
Yes, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Abhijit from PI Asset. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. And just one question. There was a considerable jump in employee expense this quarter. What led to this and how do you see the trajectory going forward?
Yeah, I think employee expenses increased due to two reasons mainly. We had our increments done in August, so areas were given in from April. It was retrospectively from April, so that impacted this quarter mainly. And the salary revisions for the directors and the US business has grown, so we had certain key persons additions in US also. So that increased the salary costs. And going forward, it should be around 27-28 crore quarterly. That is what we see.
Sorry, I missed the figure. How much?
27 to 28 crores quarterly.
Understood. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Forum from Bank of Baroda Capital Market. Please go ahead. Mr. Forum, please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, so congratulations on the good set of numbers. Could you please highlight on the CDMO part, like if you can show some color, what is the contract size we have, how many contracts do we have, and what's the percentage you're looking at, you know, as a percentage to regulated market that it can scale up to?
So thank you, Forum. So it would be not possible to give you the exact specific information. You know, what we can tell you is we have about $12 million worth of visible business for the year on CDMO, CMO side across various contracts and with various customers for multiple products.
Okay, and so this pie is expected to grow at what CAGR, you know, in like 2 or 3 years time frame?
Difficult to comment on 3 year CAGR growth, but as I said, from last year to this year, our CDMO, CMO has shown a significant growth, multi-fold growth. With that growth and the benchmark that we have today, you know, I think we should be able to grow over about 30-odd% CAGR over next 3 to 5 years, even on the CDMO, CMO side.
That's helpful. My second question is on the emerging market side. Our emerging market margin is still around 6%. So we had indicated of inching up to double digit, you know, like 12% part. And that's what will lead to increase in the blended EBITDA margin. So from when do we see this, you know, traction picking up?
So I think it's we see the traction even in this year. So I think we feel that 6-7% whatever that we see today should get into a early double digit by end of this year. So I think that there is a visibility over it. It's just that we have to kind of, as I said, we have to be watchful in terms of next few months how it plays out. So far as we speak, as we stand, and the kind of order visibility that we have for the remaining quarter in the year, I feel we should be able to get that. And subsequently next year, with all the registrations and everything that has been done and those approvals comes in and the commercial launches would happen, it can go into between 15 to 20% EBITDA. So lower teens of EBITDA percentages is what we are planning for the next year, which looks visible right now as you speak.
Okay, that's helpful too. Thirdly, we have spoken of normalized sales growth next year onwards of 25% revenue growth. So if you could just highlight on the PAT level growth as well, because we have been consistently growing since last year at 100% PAT, and this year also we have guided 400% PAT. So what is the normalized PAT growth we should look, 2 years down the line?
I think a better way would be to talk about the percentages. So I think a sustainable EBITDA of 28 to 30% is what we are looking at from next year onwards. And therefore, on a like-to-like basis, since we don't have too much of a debt burden, you can work out the PAT. But PAT as a percentage will improve by a couple of hundred bits. That's what we are looking at.
Okay, that's helpful. And lastly, on the balance sheet item, I see trade receivables have gone up substantially. So if you could just highlight the reason for the increase.
Last year we had the consolidation coming in for two companies. So last year, receivables jumped because of the consolidation effect. We are talking about 25, right?
Yeah.
So, Forum, is this question relevant to FY25?
Yeah, I see our trade receivables increasing. So, if you can just highlight on that part as well. Trade receivables have gone up from 25 crores to 45 crores odd. On a standalone basis?
No, I think you have to look at it in terms of number of days. We don't feel any particular reason to talk about because receivables are well in the control. However, what we can do is, maybe if we can be a little more specific, we can take this question offline. No problem.
Yeah.
Sure, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pranav Chawla and from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Pranav Chawla, please go ahead with your question.
Sorry, Pranav, you are not audible. Moderator, can you take the next question, please?
Yes, sure. The next question
please go ahead.
The next question comes from the line of Sumit Gupta from Scantrum. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity again. So, sir, wanted to understand on the gross margin aspect, since in FY27 your API, in-house API would be integrated, and so let's say by FY27-28, how should we see gross margins faring up?
So, Sumit, we have already given indication that a sustainable gross margin will be in the range of 60 to 65% range. Exact working once the API kicks in is a little premature at this point in time, but at this point in time, you work with this number.
So 60 to 60 is in FY27?
60 to 65% sustainable gross margin.
So that's what I'm saying. So as of now, it is at around 55, right? Just 1 minute.
Understood, sir.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Margaret Mishra from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity. Sir, can you just highlight what the second half for this fiscal would look like for the various segments? That would be my first question.
So actually, we don't share the exact segmental information in terms of projections. But what we have said,
emerging market and just emerging market and regulated, this Africa.
Broadly, the regulated markets should definitely have a top line in excess of 400 crores. That is what our internal target is. Emerging, let us see, but around 150 looks like doable. Overall, we have given you a guidance that my top line will grow, but these are the two main contributors. Swapnil already talked about the critical care, branded, generics in India, touching close to about 50 crores. And then there would be some residuary business coming from API, etc.
Okay. Sir, do we maintain a guidance or around 27 to 30% for this fiscal?
Sorry?
What would be a margin guidance?
Margin guidance, we have already said, as compared to last year, it will be more than double. Margin, sorry. My margin, you can put it in the similar range what we have achieved in H1.
Okay, got it. So does that mean there will be some lumpiness in the second half? Given the... do you expect some lumpiness in the second half of the fiscal?
Yes, so no, there is no lumpiness. Usually for us, the second half has always been better over last 3 years, the trajectory that we've seen. So we expect it to be better. Now today we are at about 300 crore revenue with 50 plus crore of PAT, right? Now if the second half is going to be better than the first half, we'll see. Historically it has been better, but overall for the year, the projections, you very well know what we have given, both on the revenue side as well as on our PAT side. I feel we are pretty much on target to achieve those numbers. Let's see how the next few months go, and then we'll have a better visibility in terms of how actually the whole year is shaping out. So maybe around next quarter, so in February, we should be pretty close to how the year looks like it to be, you know. But we are pretty much on target, I would say, on both the revenue as well as profitability side.
Okay. So then one last question from my end. So we have seen a working capital cycle considerably improving in this first half. Do you think you will be able to maintain this 80 to 90 odd days working capital cycle, or will be closer to 100 days what we were in FY25?
No, it will be around 90 to 100 days.
Okay. As our emerging market business picks up in the second half, is it because of that?
It can go to 100 days.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, sir. I'll join back with you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Richa from Equity Master. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. My question is, within the regulated markets, how should we look at the mix of CDMO and non-CDMO business? That is first. Second, again, in the regulated markets, you had plans to come up with a sterile facility. 107 crore investment. If you could just give us some timeline and visibility on the business, what kind of ramp up can be expected, what kind of margins could be there, that would help. These are the two questions I have.
Yeah, thank you. So on the regulated market, as just Sanjay Bhai stated, it's 400 plus crore, so targeting about 400 to 450 crores on the revenue on the regulated market. The split between our own products and CDMO, CMO would be fairly equal. Maybe with more launches, our own product may be slightly 5 to 10% higher than the CDMO, CMO as what it looks like it today as we speak and then going forward in next 2 quarters. So that's the revenue that we are planning for the year. From the sterile side of the business, as you know, we have plan to put up a sterile manufacturing in the U.S. in next year. So probably Q2, Q3 of FY27 is what the plan is. Now, this steroid is largely going to be not just the general injectable, it's also will be part of the biologic CDMO, CMO as well, right? So putting all together, all considering the all steroid manufacturing, which is for the injectable as well as the biologic side of the business, is also what we are planning. Giving some sort of a revenue guidance or a margin guidance on the steroid would be too premature and early. So as the event progresses, we'll give you more information in terms of how it is looking at and what the actual plans are at that point of time.
So, sir, your guidance for, you know, 25%-30% sustainable growth guidance, that does not include sterile facilities. Is that understanding correct?
That's
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Divyam from Pragya Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on the great set of numbers. I have two questions for you. The first one is, the Ratnaris and Havoc, sorry, have been integrated, but the margins from these units are still lagging at consolidated levels. Where exactly are the synergies you expected? Are the U.S. manufacturing and India R&D teams now operating in sync or still as separate cost centers? And my second question would be, you have highlighted having one of the highest proportions of CGT exclusivities among peers, but CGT windows are temporary and highly competitive. So, how many of this exclusivities are still commercially active, and how much revenue did CGT produce actually contribute in the half one of FY
2026? So, I think I'll put the CGT question first. So CGT, again, one is the CGT designated and one is CGT granted. So there are two separate segments. Currently, quite a bit of our current portfolio has CGT designation. Once those get launched, we'll get a CGT granting done. Now, segregated, what revenue comes out of CGT will be difficult and not necessary. We want to kind of give that information out as we speak today. But not more than 20-25% of our revenue comes from those CGT designated products as we speak. Again, they're whether they are highly competitive or they're not highly competitive, I think it depends on each opportunity and in each product as we speak. But with the newer launches that are planned every quarter that we have, whether it is CGT or non-CGT, whether it is a government business or a controlled substance, I think growth trajectory, what we are seeing and what we are commenting about, whether we get CGT or we don't get CGT, that will continue to be there. If we get CGT, there could be upside on whatever that has already been committed or communicated, that's there. But if, let's say, even if we don't get CGT on some of those opportunities, still, whatever that has been projected, we are quite comfortable on achieving those numbers. So that's the CGT part, I think. What was the second question?
I think you were talking of Ratnaris. The Ratnaris and Havoc.
Correct.
In terms of their roles and what.
Correct. So on the Havoc side so far, we were first inspected, Divyam, in 2019, February. So our first commercial transaction from that facility started in 2019. Havoc was a completely greenfield unit, right? So it had no prior business or anything of its own as such. So 2019, the commercial transaction happened. 2020, we were hit by COVID. You know, things did not go through the way it should have been in 2020, 2021 because of the COVID lockdown and the restrictions that were around. So what you see on the margin on the Havoc is not the actual margin that you saw last year or previous years. Those were, we were actually building up the facility, utilizing the capacity, increasing our per tablet capsule sales realization. So those were being planned. What you see this year and the next year forward is the actual Havoc margin that you would probably see. So I would not comment on what was 2 years back because we were still building up on the business, because it's a fairly new infrastructure that we had put in, you know. And you know how pharmaceutical works. It's a five-year journey on even a product from the development to filing to approval to commercialization to market share. So it takes time, right? So what you see this year and the next year on the Eris revenue, those are sustainable revenue and the margin for the Eris per se as we speak. Coming to Ratnatris, if I go back in a little history on the Ratnatris, it's in about a 14-15-year-old plant. When we acquired in 2022, it had about 55-56 crore revenue with EBITDA and cash loss, and they had about 47-48 product registrations. So if you think about it from where we have grown from those 22 and to 25 as we speak today, we from 55 odd crores, we are talking about 150 odd crores of the revenue. So revenue in 3 years has grown, will be grown about 3x. The registration that they had about 48, we are at 394 today. So number of registration has gone up by 6 times. Again, it takes time to reach the potential market share on each registration that we get approval on. Right? It takes time. It takes 6 to 8, 10 months to gain that market share as we want once the registration comes in. So also on the Ratnatris, lot of efforts have been put in last 2 years, which we are seeing now this year, beginning January onwards, we are seeing per unit realization has already gone up from 1.2 rupees to 1.8-1.9 rupees, which will further increase to 2.2-2.4 in next coming years. More registration coming in, achieving the peak market of each registration will further drive our profitability as well as our per unit realization. So those are pretty distinctively different DNA of a business that we are currently addressing. From a strategic importance, as you said, again, we want to be diversified company, not have lot of concentration on one geography. As we speak, that's why you see emerging market where there's 1,000+ registrations that we would have. And India business with the 1.4 billion population and continuously growing, one of the fastest growing pharmaceutical markets in the world. So that is the diversification comes in for our business. So I think I.
Yeah. And just a very, very quick add-on to what Swapnil said about Eris. Don't view Eris in isolation. You have to look at Eris with Sanofi Sync, my wholly owned subsidiary, which is a very integral part of our U.S. business, which holds all the marketing intangibles and the IP. And that is where, you know, on a consolidated basis in U.S., we're talking of about 40-42% EBITDA margin.
So, sir, could we see how much percentage of increase could we see in the next 2-3 coming years in the Havells and in Ratnatris?
So, Vivek, we've already stated, right, for U.S. as a combined entity, we expect our margins to be around 40-45% EBITDA, you know, so that will be sustainable as we move forward, you know, on our various aspects. On Ratnatris, we already commented, right, we should be.
15-18, yeah.
We should be in lower teens this year and higher teens next year is what the plan is on the margin side.
Okay, and one last question. We have four verticals right now, okay? So, for example, for any reason our cash flow becomes constrained, so which vertical are you planning to majorly focus on?
We are already always focused more on regulated markets and regulated markets-related business verticals, which still contributes a significant portion of our revenue and profits. And therefore, all the investments also would be in that focus. But as Swapnil said, this will be a balanced approach. API, most of the investment is already done. We will have obviously some incremental investment coming for the mid-tier semi-reg markets. That is what we are focused on. But primary focus and capital allocation will be on the regulated market side.
Okay, that's it. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Hitaindra Pradhan from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I hope I'm audible. Sir, my question is related to your medium-term growth guidance of 25% plus gross margin of 60 to 65%, and regulated market 40% plus. So there has been some upside to the EBITDA margin from your regulated market business this quarter, because previously it used to be around 35%. So just want to understand, what is contributing to that? I mean, the new launches. Because as per your previous kind of description in last quarter, so there have been government channel controlled substances that you kind of sell, and your own NDA as well. So in one, there was a lower margin, and your own NDA, you kind of generate licensing, and then there is profit share as well. So that kind of get some additional margin or upside to your margins. So if you can just elaborate your revenue profile when you launch your own NDA, and what is the margin outlook, from the time you launch to the whatever timeline when the sales pick up and all. So that would be helpful. Thanks.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is correct. We are trying to launch our own products in the coming quarters. We have planned new products every quarter from next 4-5 quarters, I think. So yeah, the margin profile might increase a bit in the regulated market. But overall, what we see is the big will be around 40% for the 40-41%, 42% for the regulated market. The margin profile, the gross margin profile, EBITDA margin profile.
And and you said about the multiple verticals of revenue. So for my own products, as we speak today, it is under the profit share model. We do get a share of profit from the marketing partner. Plus, we get the reimbursement of our, in the form of licensing fees, and then the COGS. So, it's very difficult, but as the basket grows, this becomes a little more even and predictable, quarter over quarter. Because at times when there is a new product launch or a new partnership, there could be a little higher influx of my licensing fees. But now, a major contributor is sustainably will be the profit share part, and the licensing fee will continue. So I think predictable part of the margin seems to be around 42% plus minus, I would say more plus couple of big 200 basis points or so. Let us see. And then emerging market, as the margins improve overall, we have guided that 27% EBITDA can easily go up to 30 or even little higher, 30, 32. But time will tell. Let us wait.
Got it, sir. But regulated market, fair to say that, it would be kind of a J-curve, initially, upfront you receive licensing, and, then as the sales pick up, then there will be profit share and the margin profile can improve thereon, depending if the product kind of, continues on its sales trajectory and all, especially your own NDS.
Again, on the product mix, so it is a continuous process. So we cannot say there will be a huge jump somewhere. If some product goes up, some product, existing product might go down. So we don't have a clear vision on product-wise profitability as well. But overall, what we see is that 42% is going to be sustained.
42%, yes. Okay, sir. And then the second and the final question is, on your supply chain of your APIs. So you highlighted last quarter as well, you kind of get a very marginal quantity from China and all, but given the tariff situation and the disruptions around, so where do you source it from? What is the supply chain that you're looking at, especially for your regulated markets? And if you can just give some more color on that.
I think China is a very minuscule, only one product is coming from China for us. So that we are not much impacted that way. So supply chain, what we say is that, yes, US, we have some products which are critically, we are procuring from a single source, but that we are getting a backup in form of our own API facility. So down the line, next 1 or 2 years, we should be having our own product from our own facility. The product is a single source. That is what we are trying.
Also, if there is any API-related issues with the API manufacturer, you have your own facility, gives you a lot of comfort in terms of having that sustainable business for the formulation, right? So those are the key attributes to having the vertically integrated supply chain. And as just Deval bhai stated, we have a identified portfolio that we want to backward integrate for our products that we sell on the formulation side.
Right? So, to protect our supply chain.
And so the repair facility backward integration, how much of your like usage you will be, you know, consuming captively, like, you know, you plan to do it entire of your entire consumption from your own facilities, or you will still be like, you know, importing from outside post the API plant is operational?
No, I think it's a make or buy decision, right? I mean, so anything that we'll do, it will be based on a make or buy. If I'm able to get a product at a cheaper cost outside than what I can produce in-house, I think it doesn't make sense to kind of integrate it, right? But if that is something where I have, margin expansion or the price could well be very low from what we purchase at, then we probably look to make. Also, the volumes and criticalities of manufacturing, those all are aspects that we also have to look at it when we make that decision.
It will depend on the spot prices. So during that time, you know, the decision of. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, we would be taking the last question from the line of Hardik Gandhi from HPMG Shares and Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on an absolute set of numbers. Just wanted to know one thing, that given that we have the exclusive rights for a lot of drugs for the US and CGT things, right? So what is our right to win there, and, you know, what is stopping from other players doing the same? So just wanted your thoughts on that.
Yes, Arvik. So, nobody can stop anybody, right? I mean, it's an open marketplace. Everybody can do what needs to be done or what's out there. But identifying them on timely basis, executing them on a timely basis, and launching them on a timely basis just makes us different in the marketplace, right? So when we look at an opportunity, it is completely mapped from end to end in terms of execution capability, in terms of launching capability, and the marketplace. So there are a lot of, we do a lot of work. There's a massive back-end work is being done before any product has been taken up to launch or to develop or, you know, to file. So there's a lot of research goes in. There's a lot of work that has been done. Partners are met. A lot of things that we do before such opportunities are taken up. I don't know why others are not able to do or not doing or even doing or not doing it on a timely basis or dropping it halfway. Difficult to say. But we've been able to do it successfully in the past. Are we doing it successfully today? Yes. Do you think we're going to be doing it successfully in the future? Yes. So from our perspective, I think it's at the space that we've been operating over the last few years, which will continue to operate next year. But again, as I said, it's not something which is driving our revenue. Revenue exposure is 20-25%, which will be remaining on that segment of the business, and we are comfortable with it, right? So with the new launches also, I think that number is not going to substantially increase or decrease. So that means that we continue to drive our growth, continue to do what is doing it today in the future as well.
Understood. So, and just want to know more on this, what are the risk mitigants we have in place, or, you know, just from a strategy point of view, because I'm seeing that the exclusivity period is just for 180 days, right? So I'm just thinking from a different point that, you know, we are at a very healthy margin right now. So, and given that we are listed, anyone can see these numbers, and, you know, either it could be a competitor or the regulator himself and ask for a lower margin product. So what are the checks in place? You know, after 6 months, we don't find ourselves without a customer on that front.
So far, all your stated risks are correct, but so far, have you encountered any of those stated risks? The answer is no. Again, as I said, these are not relatively like $100, $200, $500 million opportunities where, you know, the moment exclusivity expires and there are like 10 people jumps in, right? I think you have to understand our business. As I said, I've been repeatedly saying, you know, we our manufacturing capacities are pre-sold. You know, we don't sit on any finished goods inventory as we speak. Anything that we produce is already sold, right? So a lot of those attributes of the business gives us a comfort in terms of where we stand and what we do. And as I said, it's about 20%, 25% exposure is there, right? So even if out of this 20%, one of the products kind of have that pricing pressure of 10%, 20%, 30%, but there's enough other products coming in and growing in the marketplace, which absorb that 2%, 2.5%, 3% of the revenue on that particular product, right? So overall, in the pie, if you look at it with how we are placed, both CDMO, CM, and our own product, it is extremely diversified business, right? That gives us a lot of comfort and the flexibility in terms of protecting our margin and giving that margin guidance.
This in itself is a de-risking strategy that, you know, we have a very strong CDMO, CMO portfolio. We utilize our capacities well. Being in U.S., we focus on several opportunities like government supplies, like controlled substances. And then on the CGT, please understand, these are all generics, so the price erosion risk is also relatively much better as compared, much under control. So there are multiple risk mitigants already in the model, and we are not dependent heavily on any one particular vertical. And therefore, you know, it is a very, very balanced kind of a portfolio. And then to end it all, we also have an equally strong ROW exposure and then a backward integrated API facility in India. And this is not the end. We have evolved over the period of last two, three years. In next three, four years, the strategy will continuously evolve as we grow.
Understood. Understood. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sanath Vazi from Centrum. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, yes, Sanath. Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, just one question. Can you provide an input on the launch of a semaglutide in the ROW market?
Can you repeat?
Sir, can you provide input on the launch of a semaglutide, sema, in the ROW market? Emerging market, basically.
Yes, yes. So Sanath, semaglutide, ROW, we have filed tablets dossier in close to 12-14 markets as we speak. Injectable dossier is also being filed as we speak today in lot of those emerging markets. We expect the opportunity to be large for us in the ROW emerging markets. How large? It's difficult to state, because in this emerging market, there are no IMS data or IQVIA data available where we could extrapolate and say we'll gain 5%-10% market share, and this will be the opportunity number for us. But looking at the enthusiasm of our partner and what we're looking at it, this could be pretty sizable opportunities for us going forward, as semaglutide as a particular product is concerned. And to add you, to update you, we've also got the manufacturing capability in-house, right? So we've got a PFS prefilled syringe line installed in our facility as well, just to take on the semaglutide opportunity, in the emerging market as we speak.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take that as the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you. I would like to once again thank everyone for joining our earnings call. We will keep updating the investor community on a regular basis of the development at Synoris. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with us directly or through our investor relations partner SGA. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you and have a very good evening.
Thank you.
This brings the conference call to an end. On behalf of Ambit Capital, we thank you all for joining us. Thank you, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.